holding on the last line of Yibzayin Amud Aleph, hopefully today we can get closer to catching up. We learned yesterday, the Gemara had started talking about that just like the Mishnah says that the Megillah can't be read out of order, l'makreya, if you do, you're not Yotze, the same thing we said applies to Krishna, the same thing applies to Hallel, Krishna, and Shemoneh Esrei. So we went through the derivation, how we know that Hallel has to be said in order, various Sukkim and Hallel that refer to time. Krishma, the Tanya, we learn in a Braita, Krishma Kiksava, Divrei Rebbe. First of all, almost like this, Rebbe holds that Krishma has to be said as it's written, meaning only in Lashon Kodesh. Chacham and B'chal Lashon, where the Chacham say you can say Shema in any language. Now, my time is Rebbe, Amakra, because the Pasuk says V'hoyu, which means V'hava Yosin Yehu. Just like we said yesterday about Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach, but Yehi implies it has to be the way it is now, and then that's how it stays. The same thing with Shema, it has to be V'hoyu, it has to be in the way that it's said. Rabbanon my time, whereas where do the Rabbanon get for that you can say it in other languages? They say because I'm a crush Shema, because the Pasuk says Shema, which means not just hear, Shema means understand. Rashi points out in a number of places in Chumash that the word Shema often means to understand. Tishma Chaloyim, for example, Pare says to Yosef, it doesn't mean you hear a dream, it means you can understand a dream and you're able to interpret it. So it means B'chalosh and Chata Shemei, it means any language that you understand, you can say Shema. So now the question is, and then
you argue that the Shemiah can really create it, really?
No. But as we go through the discussion over here, we're going to see how we get to this idea about not saying it out of order. So Rebbe Nami Hoksiv Shema, so what does Rebbe do with the word Shema? The answer is, He says it does have the more literal meaning of hear. It means your ears have to hear what your mouth is saying. You can't just be mouthing it with your lips. You have to say it in a way that you can actually hear.
But
he's saying it only has to be in Lashon Kodesh, because he's saying Behoyu. Shema is not telling us to say it in a language you understand. Shema is telling us your ears actually have to hear the words. Shema Yisrael, etc. V'hoyu tells us it has to be in Lashon Kodesh. Whereas the Rabbanon hold, according to the opinion, which is it says in the Mishnah there in Brachas, that if somebody says Shema and his ears do not hear it, he only mouths the words with his lips, that he is Yotzeh. So they argue with Rebbe. They say, you want to use the word Shema to teach us a halacha. We ourselves don't agree with that halacha. We have the word Shema for the purpose, in this case, to tell us that you can say it in other languages. Okay. Then we have the opposite question. Rabbanan nami hafsiv v'hayu. Hello. What about the Rabbanan? We're holding up the top of Yedzayin Amud Beis. Rabbanan nami hafsiv v'hayu. What about, according to the Rabbanan, what do they do with the word v'hayu? Which Rebbe had said meant that you have to say Shema dafka in the language it was written. So the Rabbanan say, oh, that word v'hoyu, that's why we're bringing this sugya in over here. The Rabbanan say the word v'hoyu means it has to be in the way in which it was written, not in the sense of a language, but in the sense that it has to be in the same order. So where does Rebbe get that from? He also agrees with that din. Where does he get it from if he's using v'hoyu for something else? He says, He said midvarim hadvarim, because when the pasuk says v'hoyu hadvarim o'ela, it could have just said v'hoyu dvarim o'ela. Didn't have to say hadvarim with the hey. So he says that you have that hey of hadvarim teaches an extra thing. V'hoyu teaches us it has to be in Lashon Kodesh. Hadvarim means it has to be these words in the order in which it says them in the Torah, not out of order. But Rabbanan dvarim hadvarim le'mashlu, whereas the Rabbanan say dvarim hadvarim, they don't hold that that's meant as an extra drasha. They don't darshan anything from that extra letter. So therefore, that's the bottom line. So everybody agrees you have to say Shema in order. Everybody agrees you have to say Shema in order. Rebbe gets it from Hadvarim, from the Hay of Hadvarim. Rabbanan get it from V'hoyu. Rebbe also says it has to be in Lashon Kodesh. He gets it from V'hoyu. And he says then that Shema means that you have to hear it. And the Rabbanan say no. Shema means you can say it in any language. And V'hoyu means it can't be out of order. Incidentally, the halacha is indeed you can't say it out of order. We see both Rebbe and the Rabbanon agree with that. But that's as far as the individual words and psukim within each parasha. If you say the parasha is out of order, if you say v'hoyim shemaya before shema, for example, you are yotze. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to say them in the order in which it says.
But in any language.
No. So the halacha actually is like the Rabbanon that you can say them in any language.
You can?
Yeah. If you don't understand Lashon Kodesh, yeah. But as far as if you say the parashiyas out of order, since the parashiyas of Shema are not adjacent to each other in the Torah anyway, so if you say them out of order, it's not such a big deal. Now, the Gemara asks.
Who puts them together?
The Torah says that you have to say the two parashiyas Shema and Vehoyim Shemaya, and then what do you call it? We say parasha of Tzitzis. We say the parasha of Tzitzis by day because you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then and by night because we say that you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night also.
And
when
does the Torah say
that we have to say Vehoyu Hadvorim Ha'ela, these words, and then in Vehoyim Shemaya also.
No, but there's two paragraphs. Where does the Torah put them together?
No, it doesn't. One is in Parshas Vayetzan and one is in Eitzes.
Right.
But both of them, the Torah says, you have to say them. Yeah. Now, the question is, Lema Kasavar Rebbe Kola Torah Kola B'Cholosha Namra. Does this mean that Rebbe holds that the Torah was said in any language? Now, what does that mean? Rashi says that what Rebbe means is that according to Rebbe, what the Gemara is assuming that he means that the Torah is able to be read in any language. In other words, you're yoytze to the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah if you do it in any language.
No,
Kriyas Shema Fakir, he's saying it has to be in Hebrew, but that's the point, is the Gemara is saying if Rebbe thinks that there has to be a special pasuk to tell us Kriyas Shema has to be in Hebrew, that implies that anything else that's read from the Torah can be read in English or French or Russian or what have you. Now, so Rashi says that's what it means. Tosfos argues on that, that Kriyas HaTorah is not a mitzvah min HaTorah. The whole concept of Kriyas HaTorah is midrabbanan. We say that Moshe set it up, but it's still considered midrabbanan because it's not one of the mitzvahs that Hashem gave him, except they say Parshas Zachar is deraita, which we'll talk about later on. No.
How do we know?
Because we know that Moshe made a takana of it. So fine, it's a takana, but it's like any other takana of the Rabbanan. We'll have later on in the Masechta, it'll talk about it. So what does it mean? So Tosfos says it means that there are places where the Torah itself says that you have to say certain psukim. Besides for Shema, you have, for example, by a chalitza, that the Yavama has to say the psukim made Yavami Lahakim, and so forth, Parshas Bikurim, a few other things Tosfos mentions that you have to say, the Torah itself says that you have to say certain words. So we're saying that Rebbe might assume that you're allowed to say those in any language, except for Shema, because he's saying to the pasuk is Vahayu. Then there are other mafarshim also, what this kol haTorah kula b'chalosh and nemra means. One is that indeed it's a historical question. When Moshe taught the Torah to the Jewish people, did he teach it to them only in Lashon Kodesh, or did he teach it to them in all the languages, or in other languages as well? And you had the Erev Zav there, for example. Maybe they didn't understand Lashon Kodesh. Maybe you also had to teach it to them in Egyptian or whatever. So that in any case, that's what the Gemara is asking. It seems that Rebbe holds that. Because if you're going to think that the Torah was actually only said or only meant to be said, whatever, in Lashon Kodesh, then why does the Torah need to say the word Vahoyu by Shema? Everything else in the Torah can only be said in Lashon Kodesh. Why would we think Shema is any different? And the answer is, it's still, according to Rebbe, you would need it. Even if you say that he holds that Kol HaTorah Kula was meant to be said only in Lashon Kodesh, nevertheless, he still might say you need the word Vahoyu by Shema, because otherwise you might have thought Shema to Rabbanan, because otherwise you might have thought to understand the word Shema, like the Rabbanan say that you can say it in any language. Because Shema means you understand. Because Rachmana Vahoyu. So therefore, according to Rebbe, the Torah has to write the word Vahoyu to tell us not. So no proof what he holds, what language the Torah was originally meant to be said in. And then we have the question the other way around. Lema Kasavar Rabbanan Kol HaTorah B'Lashon HaKodesh Nemra. Do we have to say that the Rabbanan evidently hold that the rest of the Torah was meant to be said only in Lashon Kodesh? And they're saying Shema is an exception. Because again, Deisak Zayta Kol HaLashon Nemra, because if you're going to say that the Torah as a whole was meant to be said in any language, Lomali Lemist of Shema, then according to the Rabbanan, what do you have to say? Shema, the whole Torah could be said in any language. And again, the answer is because obviously Shema means you have to understand it. But if the Rabbanan held that the Torah could be read, that you could do Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur according to Rashi, or Mikra Bikurim or whatever according to Tosfos or whatever in any language just as well as Lashon Kodesh, well then of course you could say Shema in any language just as well as Lashon Kodesh. Why would the Torah need to write the word Shema? And again, the answer is Itzrich. We need it. Because the Rabbanan say the other way around. After all, you have the word Vahoyu there. If it weren't for the word Shema, we might have misunderstood and thought that the word Vahoyu means like Rabbi is saying that Shema has to be said in Lashon Kodesh, that it's an exception to the rules. So therefore the Torah has to write Shema. So it comes out according to both Rebbe and the Rabbanan, there's no real proof what they hold in general as far as reading the Torah in other languages. We know they have their individual opinions over here. Rebbe says Shema has to be in Hebrew. The Rabbanan says it can mean any language. But what they say more generally about other parts of the Torah, we can't prove from this discussion. That we just said, that the Rabbanan use the word, that Rebbe uses it to teach us Hashmei Allah Oznecha. That Rabbanan say, you don't need the Rabbanan say, I don't hold a fast if you don't hear it with your ears, you still yotze. The Mishnah in Sota lists a bunch of things. There's some things which the Torah says that have to be said, words from the Torah or whatever that have to be said, that daft have to be in Lashon Kodesh. And there's some with and there's some that can be said in any language. The Mishnah and the Gemara over there discuss the various ones. Each one where we learn that it can be in Lashon Kodesh, that it has to be in Lashon Kodesh, that it has to be, or that it can be in any other language, the Gemara finds Pesukim to support it.
Seems in a way it's obvious. I mean, how can you...
No, because we just said it's not. According to the Rabbanan, if you say, you're yotze, just by moving your lips without actually hearing it. Yeah. Next. Tefillah menola.
Yeah.
No, but that's the point. According to the Rabbanan, that doesn't matter. As long as you have shmia, according to the Rabbanan, means understanding.
Right, according to the Rabbanan.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. And the halacha is according to the Rabbanan. Next, tefillah menola. Where do we know that? From where do we said that halo, kriya shema, and tefillah have to be said in order, along with megillah? So where do we know that tefillah has to be, meaning shemana esra have to be said in order? The Tanya, we learn in a braisa, shimon hapkuli hister shemana esra brachas lefnei Rav Gamliel ala seder biyavne. Shimon hapkuli arranged the 18 brachas in front of Rav Gamliel in order in yavne, which actually the Gemara is going to point out later on Yerchet Haman Aleph that really the 18 brachas go all the way back to the Anshek Knesset Gdolah. Shimon hapkuli had to reestablish it. The Gemara will say, but the final formulation of it, as we have it, is from Shimon HaKuli. And we see it. They're saying it has to be Allah Seder. It has to be in order. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan says, Va'amilo, or others say, Masnissa Tana, that we learn in a Braisa, Me'er Ve'esrim Skenim, 120 Skenim, which is the Anshe Knesset Gdolah, or Behem Kamen Nevi'im, and among them were several Nevi'im, including Chag, Chaya, Malachi, we discussed in the first parak, Ezra, etc. Tiknu Shemayna Esra, Brachas Ala Seder. They arranged the 18 Brachas in the order that we know. So, Tana Rabbanan, Minayin, and now the Gemara is going to go through the sources in Pesukim where we see that it has to be in this order, that each of the brachas has to be in the order in which we have them. Tana Rabbanan, Minayin Shayim Avos, how do we know that we say the bracha of Avos? Shenema, Hogul Hashem b'nei Elim. Give honor to Hashem, you sons of mighty people. Elim means strong ones. So it means the Avos. Yeah. How do we know that we say the bracha of Gvurois, which is the power of Hashem, including especially we said in Tainus that includes the we talk about rain, Masha Baruch Amor Degeshem, Shenema Hovol Hashem, covered by Oiz. Give to Hashem honor and strength. Oiz and then Gvura are more or less synonyms. Uminayin Shemim Kedushas, how do we know that the next thing we say is the bracha of Kedushas Hashem, Atta Kaddish? Shenema Hovol Hashem, Kvod Shmoi. It says, give to Hashem the honor for his name. So how okay, La Kaddish, that we mention Hashem's name. Ishtachvol Hashem, Behadras Kaddish, and bow down to Hashem in glorious holy.
So we could say all this in a different order.
No, because these three parts of the Pesukim are in that order. How does it go in Mizmor LeDavid that we say Friday night? Mizmor LeDavid, Hovol Hashem Bnei Elim, Hovol Hashem Kavod Vaoz, Hovol Hashem Kvod Shmoi. So it goes in that order. Therefore, we say those three brachas in that order. Next, Umaro Loma Bina Acha Kedusha. Why did the Chachamim decide that the next thing we should be davening for is intelligence after Kedusha, after Chaynin? Kenema, for the Pasuk says, V'ikdishu es Kedosh Yaakov, they'll make holy the Holy One of Yaakov, meaning Hashem, V'etzalekei Yisrael Yaritzu, and they'll give glory to Hashem, the God of Yisrael. The next Pasuk continues, V'yadu toyei ruach, the ones who are going astray in spirit, will know bina, will know understanding. So after we say, okay, HaKadosh, the next logical thing is we daven that we should have understanding. Choneinu means chachma bina hadas. Masha points out, in fact, historically, we had a number of examples of that. We had, for example, the story of Hanan and Mishael Vazaria, the story of Daniel, each of them after their Kiddush Hashem, even though the Goyish kings of that time, Nebuchadnezzar and Daryavish, were impressed enough to write letters and circulate around to the whole empire saying, you know, you guys, everybody should know, you have to respect the Jewish God. That's an example of that. After Kiddush Hashem, you have even these goyim, even the Nebuchadnezzars and the Daryavishes of the world realize that bina, they have to understand something about the Eishtim. Next, Umar Roa Loma Tshuva Acha Bina. Why did the Chachamim decide that the next bracha should be where about Tshuva Shivenu Avinu? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says another pasuk in Yeshaya, Ulavavu Yavin, his heart will understand the shav and he'll do Tshuva, v'rofalai and he'll be healed. therefore we see that after Bina, after understanding, comes Tshuva. Once a person, the Alter Rebbe explains, and we had it in Izei Zitanya, that once a person starts understanding what they accomplished, what they perpetrated by doing Averis, then it brings the person to Tshuva. Question is, well, if so, then the next bracha after Ashivenu should be Rufa'enu. In between, we have Slach Lanu and Re'e. Why? The answer is loy sakbadaitach. You can't think that it should be like that. Dichtiv, because the pasuk says v'yoshev al Hashem v'yirachameihu. He should return to Hashem, and he'll have rachmanis on him. Or the simple meaning is Hashem will have rachmanis on the person. Now that I've explained in Tanya, it also means the other way around. The person, as part of his tshuva, will have rachmanis on his neshama. Anyway, ve'el alekenu kiyavil asloyach, and to Hashem, he'll return to Hashem because Hashem forgives increasingly. So therefore, we see that right after tshuva, comes slicha, slach lanu. So what are you basing yourself on that second pasuk? You have the previous pasuk v'shav v'rafaloi, which shows that refuah should come after tshuva. No, yours is very nice. There's another pasuk that says differently. Why is one pasuk stronger than the other? The answer is k'siv k'rach rina, because we have yet another pasuk that's in Tilim that says haseleach l'chol avaynechi, that the Eibishter forgives all your averus, and then haroifel l'chol tachloichi, and then Hashem gives refuah to all of your illnesses, and hagoyel m'shachas chayochi, and then he redeems your life from Gehenna. So therefore, in other words, we see that slicha has to be before refuah.
It's in Tilim.
It's in Tilim, yeah.
The whole tefillah on Anachis was set up by Tilim.
No, so far we've been quoting. No, so far we've been quoting psukim from Chilim and from Yeshaya. Where we're going to get to, there's a few other psukim from various other places in Tanakh that we're going to get to. By the time the Anshe Knesset HaGdola finished off Tanakh and sealed it, so they could be quoting from any of the 24 books.
The first three were
from Chilim, but then the next ones that we had right after that, that we have Atachoina, and after that comes from Yeshaya. That we have Hashivenu after that also comes from Yeshaya. Yeah. Anyway, so we see from Haselech l'chol avanecha, haroifa l'chol tachloicha, that it has to be in that order. First slicha, then refuah. Still, the memory of the geula, refuah, basa slicha. So what? Still, you're telling me that the geula and the healing come only after slicha? But after all, what are you doing with that pasuk, with that first pasuk that we quoted, that he does tshuva and he is healed? In other words, that the healing comes right after the tshuva. The answer is Ahu Lab Rafur Tachluim Hi. That's not a healing from sicknesses, El Rafur Tislichi. That's the healing that a person is healed, Beruchnius, by being forgiven by the Eibishter. Yes.
Because he did Tshuva.
So therefore, Slachlan, so even that pasuk is implying that Slachlan has to come after Hashivenu. Marsha has a long discussion about it, where he explains that the Gemara was originally assuming over here that the refuah we're talking about over here is refuah just from regular sicknesses, and part of the answer is we're talking about a refuah that involved yisurim, which helped be mechaper on a person's averus, and that's all part of slachlanu. The refuah that we ask for later in Rafa'enu is for regular illnesses. When we're saying over here Rafa'loi, it means that the Eibishter heals him by forgiving him, which includes also maybe giving him Yisurim in order to cleanse off his various Averis.
Can you say that the regular illnesses come from the life of Tshuva?
No, not necessarily.
So what do they come then?
The person can have illnesses for many different reasons. But here, we were talking about, when the pasuk is talking about v'shav v'rofaloi, the rofaloi specifically we're talking about spiritual illnesses, which therefore sometimes can lead to physical yisurim.
Why does the Gemara bring the whole pasuk? We're only interested in knowing at that point that Chilvah after Venus,
well, because since that was the Gemara's next question, is the pasuk does say v'rofaloi, the one Shabbat before right afterwards, and that brought us into this whole discussion. Next, umar ro loyma geula b'shvius. Okay, so now why did the Chachamim set up that the bracha of geula re'ena should be the seventh bracha? Okay, we established now that you need to have slicha after tshuva. Why epis does re'ena v'anyenu come right after that? Since the Jewish people are destined to be redeemed from Golos in the seventh year, therefore they establish the bracha re'eh as the seventh bracha. Now Rashi points out that actually, I mean, the geula that it talks about in the bracha re'eh navanyenu is not really the geula from Golos. The Geula, we're talking about Geula from our various personal problems and whatnot. But still, it's an expression. But right. So the Geula of the Jewish people is later on. Kabbal Shofar, Hashivenu, Mevilei Yerushalayim, etc. Here we're talking about private Geulas. But still, it's a name of Geula, and therefore it's appropriate to put it in the seventh bracha, which the seventh is associated with Geula. Where do we see that? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin gives in Perichelik, there's a whole sugi over there about Yemotze Mashiach, it talks over there about the schedule of what things are going to be like in the last 7 years before Mashiach comes. Obviously, you know, how does that mean? There's different possibilities how Mashiach can come. This is one of the scenarios. The Gemara starts describing that you have the first few years are things are basically the first few years things are getting increasingly worse. There's hunger, there's famine, people forget the Torah, etc. And then in the last few years things start getting better gradually. And then so then the last bit of it, the Gemara quotes over here, Va'amamar, what are you telling me that the Geula is in the seventh year, in the Shemitah year? Va'amamar, what the Braisa says over there, Bashishis Kolos, in the sixth year of that 7 year period there are going to be Kolos. One explanation of kolos means that there's going to be rumors going around that the Geula is coming. Another explanation is it means the kol of the shofar, the shofar shal Mashiach. V'shviyas melchamos, in the seventh year there's going to be wars. V'metzoyah shviyas ben David ba. And at the end of Shemitah, or the following year after Shemitah, then ben David comes. So that's already the eighth year. So what are you telling me that Geula has to do with the seventh year?
From what?
No, then the Gemara is describing over there. There's going to come a point where there's going to be a certain 7 year period when all these things start happening, where the first few years of it are disastrous times, and then things start getting better, and eventually you have Mashishis Kolos B'Shvias Mochamos. The Gemara points out over there. I mean, you had a lot of times when the process seemed to have gotten underway. You had the bad times, and you had the good times afterwards, but it never reached the ultimate thing, which is why we're still in Golos. So anyway, the point is that the Ben David is associated with Metzoy Shvius, not with Shvius itself. The answer is Melchama Nami Aschalta de Geulahi. That war that we're talking about, that's going to be in the seventh year, the war of Gog and Magog, Bupashtos, is the beginning of the Geulah, because it's what leads to it. So therefore, yes, Geulah can be associated with the seventh year itself. To put a little current events right now, I mean, right now, according to the general opinion of the Poskim, we're in the sixth year of Shemitah, next year is Shemitah year. There are actually a few of the Rishonim who argue that Shemitah year is supposed to be 1 year earlier than we keep it nowadays, which means that, according to them, this year, Tav Shanayin Dalet is a Shvius. And sure enough, there are the Mochamos. So they just should help, but we have already that Ben David Ba.
It's within the 7 years of Shvius?
The Pashtos, yeah. That seems to be the idea, yeah. Next, Umar Ro Lomer Rafur Bashminis. Now, why did the Chachamim decide that the bracha Rafur, Rafainu, should be the eighth bracha? Amar Abacha, Mitosha Nitna Mila Bashminis, Shatzricha Rafur, since Mila takes place on the eighth day and it needs Rafur, Lefricha Kavur Bashminis. Therefore, the Chachamim set up the bracha Rafainu to be the eighth bracha, to symbolize that. To symbolize Mila. Yeah. Why did the Chachamim decide that the bracha of years, Baruch Aleinu, should be the ninth bracha? Because this bracha is against those who want to drive up the prices of food. You'd have people, we learned about this in Yuma, they had people in those days who would, when there's a famine coming, they'd buy up all the available food, and then when the poor people they drive up the prices, poor people can't afford it now. And they didn't have to pay whatever prices these guys have. Price gouging, as they call it. So we want to daven against those people, and Dovin HaMelech also davened against them. Dichtiv, it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Shvor Zroya Rosha, break the arm of the Rosha. Now Rashi says, okay, there's many different kinds of Rishayim in this world. How do we know the Rishayim that Dovin is talking about are these guys who jack up the prices? The reason is, Rashi says, because earlier in the capital, it talks about that these are the Rishayim who attack the poor people, who rob from the poor people, steal from the poor people. A normal thief steals from the rich, like Robin Hood. Who steals from the poor? These people, the people who drive up the prices, because the burden mainly falls on the poor. Marsha says also that the remez in it is Zroya is Meloshon Zera, planting, and Shvor is Meloshon Ki Yashever B'Mitzrayim, there's grain in Mitzrayim. So David is davening that after the planting, after the Zroya, there should be Shever, there should be lots and lots of grain, so these guys can't corner the market and drive up the prices. But David, Ki Amra B'Chiyas Amra, and where does David say this pasuk? In the ninth capital of Tillim. Now, Rashi points out it's not the ninth capital. Rashi says actually it's the eighth capital. In our Tillim, it's actually the 10th capital. So what is it? So Rashi discusses, and Marsha, another Mepharshim discuss, that there are there's the first two, what we have is the first two capital of Tillim, Ashrei Ha'ish and Lama Rag Shugayim, were originally one capital. Similarly, Rashi describes that actually the two kapitlach, Lam Naseach HaMus Labein, which we have as capital test, and Lama Hashem Tamed Berachach, which we have as capital Yud, were also originally one capital. So by putting those together, you get down from 10 to 8.
Two less.
Right. We find that a few places in the Gemara there's support for that kind of thing. The Gemara mentions in Brachas, for example, the reason we say the Pasuk Yiyu L'Ratzon at the end of Shemoneh Esrei is David originally said it after 18 Kapitlach Tillim. So we also say it after the 18 Brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. But if you look at a Tillim, it's the 19th. It's the end of the 19th Kapitl. Same idea. There are Kapitlach that originally were together and then were split apart. So actually, I think some Mepharshim say, it might be Tosfos, I don't remember, that actually when they added the Barach of Olam al-Shinim, an extra Barach of the Shemoneh Esrei, then they had to split apart one of the Kapitlach in order to keep the same thing. So nowadays we say Yiyu L'Ratzon at the end of 19 Barach of the Shemoneh Esrei, and correspondingly it's at the end of 19 Kapitlach of Tillim.
Why do you need to find a source? Eighth of the ninth, the fact is that you have them in order based on the
story. No, because these last couple we didn't. We had, for example, Rafa'enu. We said, fine, Rafa'enu has to come somewhere after Slach Lanu. But once we pushed it out of position already, Marsha says, we couldn't put it directly after Slach Lanu because we had a different reason to put it. We had a different bracha that had to go in seventh place. So necessarily it has to be pushed out. Why Dafka should have gone eighth? Or a tenth, or a 15th, whatever. Same thing with Baruch Aleinu. There's no explicit pasuk that says that Baruch Aleinu has to come after Rafa'enu. These eighth and ninth brachos we're doing based on a remez to something else, based on a remez to Mila or a remez to what David wrote in Tillim.
In other words, we have a reason to put them
in a certain order. That's what we're saying. Because that's the whole point that Gemara is making over here is you have to say these brachos in order. If you say them out of order, you're not yotze. Which has implications in halacha, by the way. For example, you know, when you have, if during the winter you forget the same talamata in Baruch Aleinu, and then you remember later on in Shemoneh Esrei, you have to go all the way back to Baruch Aleinu. You can't say, I'll just stick in the bracha now where I remember, because you can't have to say them in order. Next, so my role of Kibbutz Goliath la'acha Birkas Hashanim. Why did the Chachamim decide to put the bracha of Kibbutz Goliath, Kabbat Shofar, after Birkas Hashanim? Here we go back to Pesukim. So there's a pasuk in Yechezkel, Va'atem Hora Yisrael, and you, the mountains of Yisrael, Anfechem Titnu, you will give forth your branches, or Piriachem Tisu, and you'll bear fruit, La'ami Yisrael, for my people Yisrael, Kikorvu Lavei, because they're near to coming back to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara, in fact, points out in Sanhedrin that that's one of the greatest signs that Mashiach is coming, when you see that Eretz Yisrael, the trees in Eretz Yisrael are blossoming and producing fruit again.
Which they are.
Which nowadays they are, yeah. So therefore, after Birkas Hashanim, then the next thing is Kabbat Shofar, that the Kibbutz Goliath.
That's because
the pasuk is saying that when you see the trees blossoming, you know that the Jewish people are about to arrive. Eretz Yisrael doesn't give its fruit, doesn't give its bounty to the goyim. Rashi explains on the Teuchecha in Bechukotai, when the pasuk says over there that you know the land will be desolate, v'shamamu aleh oivechem, your enemies will live desolately on it. Rashi says it's a hidden bracha that the goyim will never manage to establish a firm foothold in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, you read, for example, Mark Twain, the marshal visited Eretz Yisrael in the 1860s. He described it as a completely barren land, barren, desolate. Every year. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're looking at the area. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's waiting for its children. So yeah. Next, the Kibbutz and Iskabtz of Goliath. Once the Goliaths are gathered together, Nasa Din B'Rashayim, and the Eibishter judges and punishes the Rashayim. And therefore, the next thing after Kabbat Shofar is Hashiva Shiftenu, that the Eibishter will return our judges. Shinema, the pasuk says, "V'ashiva yodi alayich, I will return my hand towards you. The esrif kabosigayich, and I'll clean out, like I'll purify, like with soap, your impurities." Uchtiv, and the pasuk continues, "V'ashiva shiftayich v'rishayna, and I'll return your shiftim like they used to be." So therefore, after Kibbutz Goliath comes the judgment and the disposing of the rishayim, and therefore Hashiva Shiftenu comes next. One of the Rashash points out, one possibility is that when we say over here, he says the pasuk actually continues, the Gemara doesn't quote this part of the pasuk, v'asir kol b'diloich, I would literally mean b'dil is tin, like when you have tin mixed in with precious metals, but he says also it could be that b'diloich is malashin muvdal, like you have, the Eishter is going to remove the separation, the Jews are scattered all over the world, and therefore the Varshi, and next is v'ashiva shiftayich, so that's the connection between kibbutz goliath and setting up the dayanim, hashiva shiftenu. The kivin shenasa din min rishayim. Once the rishayim have been judged, kolu aposhim, then the sinners go away, and that therefore next comes the brach of olam hashinim. V'kolu zedim imayim. You have to mention the zedim, the people who deliberately do avedus, along with them. That's what we say in olam hashinim. V'cholam minim v'chol zedim keragay avedu. The original brach was meant to be called birchas minim because it was meant against the minim, the early Christians, the other sects or whatever who were trying to who were trying to convince Jews to go along with them and who were mastering them and so forth. But we have to mention the word zedim over there also, people who deliberately go against what the Torah is saying, because Shenema, the pasuk says, v'shever poshim v'chatoyim yachdav yichlu. The breaking of the poshim, the ones who are rebelling against the Eivishter, v'chatoyim, and the ones who are sinning, yachdav yichlu. Together they'll be destroyed. So along with the poshim, have to go to Zedim.
Because of
the kibin shekolah poshim. Once the poshim are gone, one v'lam hashinim, mitzri memes keren tzadikim. Then the strength of the tzadikim is elevated, and therefore next is the bracha ala tzadikim. I'll cut down all the horns, meaning the strength of the rishoyim. The horn of the tzadikim will be uplifted. When you say in the bracha ala tzadikim, you have to include that you're asking also that the Eibishter should help geiri tzadik. Why? The pasuk says you should stand up for the elderly and you should honor the face of a zaken, which means a tamid chacham. The samach lein. The next pasuk continues. That if a ger lives among you, that you have to treat him. You have to treat him nicely. So we see that the gerim go along with the tamid chacham. Okay, but as far as davening for them, you can daven for them together. Now, where does the horn, the strength of the tzaddikim get uplifted? Be Yerushalayim. Shenema shalu shloim Yerushalayim. Ask about the peace of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayu ayavayich. Those who love you will have peace. Therefore, the logical thing is after Allah tzaddikim, next comes the Yerushalayim. Kivin Shenivnis Yerushalayim Bod David. Once Yerushalayim is built, then Mashiach comes. So therefore, next is a Semach. Shenema Acha Yeshuvu Bnei Yisrael. It's the pasuk says in Hosea now that afterwards, after the Golus, the Jewish people will return, meaning they'll return to the Beis Mikdash. Who Vikshu as Hashem Alekeim, and they will seek Hashem their God. Ve'es David Malkam, and their King David. So therefore, we see that first comes the building of Yerushalayim, and then comes Malchus Beis David. And therefore we say in that order, first for the Yerushalayim and then Esterach. This fits very well according to the Rambam's opinion that the Cheskas Mashiach, one of the things he has to do is Bona Mikdash Bim Kaim of Kibbutz Nizchei Yisrael, and only then is Yivada Mashiach. That fits very well with this Gemara. The Kivin Shabbat David Bas Tefillah, once Mashiach comes, then Tefillah comes, meaning now Tefillahs are really accepted. The Eibishter says back in Yeshaya, I will bring them to my holy mountain. I'll make them happy in my house of tefillah. So therefore, once they're brought El Hau Kodshi to the Beis Mikdash, then comes Shemaya Tefillah. The Eibishter really hears our tefillahs. Until then, it's like we say, there's a pasuk in Eicha that says, Sakrisab Anan Loch Me'avur Tefillah, so to speak, they should put up a cloud to block our tefillahs. The Gemara mentions in Brachas Shari, Tefillah Ninalu Shari, Dimaloy Ninalu, but still, you know, yeah. V'kivin Shabbos Tefillah Bos Avoida, once we're able to daven properly, then we're able to serve the Eivishter properly. Shenema, as that same pasuk continues, Oilitzehim V'zivcheim L'ratzen Amizbechi, their Oilus and their Zvachim, meaning Shlomim, will be accepted on my Mizbeach. So therefore after Shmak Eleinu, next comes Ritzei, where we daven for the resumption of the Avoda. The Kivin Shabbos Avoda Basa Toida, once we're able to serve the Eivishter, once we're able to bring Korbanot, then we can thank Hashem. Shenema Zeveach Toida Yichabdani, as it says, the one who offers a Toida honors me. So first you have Zevach, which is a regular Korban, and then you have the Toida. So therefore, after Ritzei comes Moedim. Next, Umar Ro'u Lama Bich...
is a
Toida, it's honor, it's Toida, it's thanking Hashem. Well, my role in Birkas Kohanim Achmoda. So now, why did the Chachamim decide that Birkas Kohanim should be next after Moedim? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Hayisa Aaron as Yodav la'om bayivarchem." Aaron lifted up his hands to the people and blessed them when by the Chanukas Hamishkan. Vayered me'asoy sachatas va'olav ashlamim. And then he came down off the mizbeach from having brought the chatas and the olah and the shlamim. So therefore, we see, in other words, that first he brought the korbanos, which is avoda, which is to say, and later on he benched them. Question is, em kodem avoda? Why? Maybe it means that the order in the pasuk is first it mentions him doing birkas kohanim, then it talks about doing the oila and whatnot. And that's the answer. Lo sakadaydach. You can't think that. It says he came down from having brought the chatas, etc. Miksiv lasos. It doesn't say he came down in order to make them, like in order to shech them or whatever. So necessarily it means he actually shechted it. He brought them on the mizbeach and then he benched the people. Fine, according to that, then you should say Birkas Kohanim right after Avodah, right after the Tzei. Why you skip it? Why are you waiting until after Moedim? The answer is Lo Sachadaydach. Still, you can't say that, because we just had Zeveach Toda, that Zeveach bring the korban and Toda go together. So Avodah and Hedah have to go together. Still, my chalz is the Samcha Zahai. So who says you have to rely on that pasuk? Smoich Ahai. Rely on the pasuk in Vayikra and say, therefore, that the order should be Ritzei, Birkas Kohanim, then Moedim. Why is the pasuk in Tzilim stronger? The answer is Misabra. It's logical to say, Avoida Vahidah Chodah Milzehi. That Avoida, serving the Eivishter with a korban, and thanking the Eivishter is all part of the same thing. Hodah is also a form of serving the Eivishter. Therefore, it's more logical that those two things go together.
Avoida,
meaning korbanos, and hodah, thanking the Eivishter, is more logical to go together than to separate them with Birkas Kohanim, right? In Chassidus, it talks about the idea that the hodah is l'mayla mitam v'das, and to a certain extent, Birkas Kohanim is also, and therefore, it's logical that they go in that order. Why did the Chachamim decide that you should say the bracha Sim Sholem after Birkas Kohanim? Part of the question, before I should explain, is why b'chol does there need to be a bracha Sim Sholem? Finish davening with Birkas Kohanim and that's that. The answer is, Dichtiv, the Samuas Shmuyah B'nei Yisrael, they should put my name on B'nei Yisrael, which is Birkas Kohanim, V'ani Aborachem, and the pasuk finishes off, I will bless them. And what is bracha da Kadosh Baruch Hu Sholem? Hashem's bracha to us is Sholem. Shenema, Hashem Yivorech Asami V'Sholem. The shalom is the ultimate bracha. That's actually why it's the last word of Birkas Kohanim. We also have shalom because it includes everything else.
So therefore,
it's appropriate to put Sim Shalom after the Kohanim have benched us. We ask that Hashem should give us his bracha, which is Sim Shalom. The Ritva actually says it's not just in Shemoneh Esrei. The Ritva says there's a number of other places where we find there's a sequence of brachas one after the other, and the last one always talks about shalom. In Sheva brachas, for example, the last bracha Abba Achma Shalom Vereus. In benching who Yasa Shalom Aleinu, because when he quotes from Medrash that every time when you should always finish off with Shalom. Similar to what we're saying here.
But from other sources.
He says from all over in Davening, we see this. Okay, the question is now, going back to, we started this description by saying that we said Shimon HaKuli set up these brachas in front of Rav Gamliel, and we said that Anshak Nes HaGdol set them up. That's 400 years difference. If the Anshak Nes HaGdol, including all these Nevi'im, already set up Tefillah in the order, Shimon HaKuli, my history, then what does Shimon HaKuli add? HaKuli, by the way, Rashi said that one explanation is that he made a living by dealing in cotton. Kuli means that Kula means bundles of cotton. Anyway, so what does he have to do? The answer is shachum v'chazru v'yisrum v'chazru v'sidrum. They forgot the original order or the original wording of the davening, and he redid it. Well, how could they have forgotten? Don't you daven Shemoneh Esrei every day? There's a couple of different explanations. One of them is the halacha is actually you're allowed to in each of the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, you're allowed to add your own request. In some siddurim, they have printed. In some siddurim, they have, for example, in Rufa'enu, they have printed, and at the bottom of the page there, a tefillah that you hear up and that you can say for somebody who's sick. In Baruch Aleinu, and in some siddurim, in those siddurim also, they have a tefillah you can add for Parnasa, etc. So over the couple of hundred years, from Anshak Nes HaGdola until Shimon HaKuli, there were so many additions and things like that, that everybody had their own idea what to add and what to take out, or whatever people have forgotten, what the original basic nusach is. So Shimon HaKuli had to reestablish that. Another idea of it is also the idea that technically in those days when they didn't have Siddurim yet, you didn't have to daven the actual 18 brachas or 19 brachas of Shemini Esrei every day. Much of the time, you could say the bracha Avinenu, the Gemara discusses in brachas. You say the first three brachas, you say Avinenu, which is one paragraph that includes little bits and pieces of each of the 12 or 13 middle brachas, and you finish off with the last three. So many people on a daily basis may have been saying Avinenu, and therefore they'd forgotten the original wording of Shemini Esrei, so Shimon HaPkoli had to reset it up. And a third possibility is also Pashat Rabban Gamliel and Shimon HaPkoli are living after the Churban. There's a number of the brachas that have to be rewritten. The bracha Ritzeh, for example, in time of the Beis Mikdash, it wouldn't have said V'hashi V'havay D'Ladrei Beis Echa. It would have said, basically, the Eidoshet, we're bringing Korbanos in the Beis Mikdash. Hashem, please accept them. After the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, that bracha has to be rewritten. Same thing with Lir Shalayim. Same thing with a few of the other brachas. So he would have had to redo those.
So he redid them.
So that's what we're saying.
Not only straightened
it. So what it means for Sidrum, does it mean he rearranged them, or does it mean that actually some of them he had to rewrite?
And what's the answer?
We don't know. Mikan ve'elach, after this, also the sapa b'shvacha shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not allowed to speak, you're not allowed to tell over the praise of the Eved Shter, it actually says the kviyus bracha. You cannot add a kviyus to add another bracha to Shemini Esrei, or to add words to Shemini Esrei, or any place in Shemini Esrei, to add your own praises of Hashem, like as an extra bracha. The Gemara in Bracha says similarly that at the beginning of Shemini Esrei we say Arkela Godel Gibraner. The Gemara in Bracha tells over there that there was one time a chazan was davening in Rabbi Eliezer's shul and he starts off Arkela Godel Gibraner about Izus va'chazot va'amitz etc. And Rabbi Eliezer tells him that's not appropriate. Why? Adam Rabbalaz and my dichtiv mi malo gurus Hashem yashmiya kol tila. Say, what does the pasuk mean? It says who can speak the strengths of Hashem yashmiya kol tila. Say, who can make heard all of His praise? It means l'mi nor l'malo gurus Hashem. Who is it praiseworthy that he should speak of the power of Hashem? Only somebody was able to make heard all of His praise. Now you can't. The Eved is beyond any praises that we could come up with. So therefore, it's not appropriate to add any more glorious of your own beyond what the Chachamim were misakin.
Why do you think then adding?
No, but it's not even at the end of Shemini Esrei. It could be. That's what I'm saying. That story with Rabbi Eliezer and the Chazan could be at the beginning of Shemini Esrei. It could be in the middle. Mikan Ve'elach doesn't mean after Sim Shalom. It means once these 18 or 19 brachas have been established the way we have them, don't go start adding to them. Don't think you're going to add a 20th bracha anywhere. Yeah. And that's what Rashi saying, kviyus bracha, like make a kviyus of it. Of course, you can have, like I just said, you can add in each bracha, you can add something appropriate to that bracha. You can add, we have the various other parts of davening where we say psukim and whatnot, but to add an extra thing as a kviyus, and to answer that, you shouldn't do. Yeah. Okay.
What?
As shvach, praise of Hashem, as opposed to a bakasha, a request. Okay, yeah, that's part of it. That may be part of the difference also, yeah.
That
you can't add more praises beyond the ones that you can add requests. Yeah. Amar Rabbi Baba Chana Rabbi Yechanan Hamasapa B'Shvacha Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosef Yidai. Somebody who speaks too much of the Eved's praise, in other words, like this, like we're just describing, like he adds it to Shemini Esrei. Nekam in Olam. He gets uprooted from the world. Because again, like in Rabbi Eliezer's mashal in brachos over there, it's like Rabbi Eliezer says to the chazan who added the hagadol agibah v'anorah v'chazak v'az v'amitz etc. So Rabbi Eliezer tells him, the truth is, why are we saying okay, hagadol agibah v'anorah? Only because Moshe Rabbeinu originally said it, and the Anshek Nesagdela put it for us in Shemini Esrei. Other than that, he says, for us to bechlal praise the Eved, it would be like a king who has a million gold coins, and you're praising him; he has a million silver coins. It's not praise; it's a chutzpah. You're making less than what he is. But you're adding your own words. But can you possibly praise the Eved as much as he deserves? No. So, Shenema, the pasuk says, "Hayisuper loyki adaber." Can it be told to him? Can I speak? Im amar ish. If a person were to say it, ki yivula, he will. If a person thinks that he could say that, ki yivula, he'll get swallowed up. There's a limit. A person shouldn't try to exceed the limit in praising Eved. Dora Shav Yehuda ish kfar nevuraya. My dichtiv, what does it mean? It says in the pasuk, l'chodrumiya sehila, it says in Tillim, to you silence is praise. It means sama dekula, the best medicine for everything is mashtuka, is being quiet, to not talk too much. So like the greatest praise you can give the Eved is to know when to stop, basically. Chiyosid of Dimi Omar, when Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, Amri Marava, they have an expression in Eretz Yisrael, Mila B'Sela, a word may be worth a Sela, Mashtuk of a chain, but silence is worth two slain. It's twice as valuable as speaking. Similar idea. Mishnah said, "Kra pelo yotze v'cholo." That if you read the Megillah Baal Peh, you're not yotze minolon. Where do we know this from? Amar Rava Asi Zchira Zchira. We make a Zera Shava from the word Zchira. Ksiva Hachava Yom Ha'elen Nizkarim. By Purim, it says that these days are remembered. Uchtivasim, and it says in Parshas B'Shalach, by the first war with Amalek, Ksoiv Zer Zikarin B'Sefer. Write this down as a Zikarin in the book, in the Sefer Torah. Mala Ha'alan B'Sefer. So just like there, the Zchira has to be done out of a Sefer. You have to read it out of a Sefer Torah. Afkan the Sefer. So here also it has to be out of a Sefer, out of a written Megillah. This, by the way, is the source that many of the poskim say, this is the source where we see that Parshat Zachar is Daraisa. Because we're saying, over here, the Gemara is taking it as an obvious fact, that Parshat Zachar, Zachar is Hashar Asa V'chalmog, has to be done by Sefer, from a Sefer Torah.
Really?
Yeah.
On this same Zer Shabbat?
No, so that's what I'm saying. The Rishonim explain that the Gemara is using it to show that the Megillah has to be read by heart. But with a source that it's using, which is talking about Parshat Zachar, shows that also has to be read from a Sefer Torah. That's where we get the Parshat Zachar Daraisa. As opposed to what we were saying before, the Tosfos had pointed out that in general, when we read the Torah and Shul, it's only the Rabbanan.
What other mitzvahs do we have to do still?
We have the Sheish Tzidus, but that's the show. Yeah, we have the Sheish Tzidus, but there's Shabbos is one of them. But with those, doesn't necessarily mean to say them, to actually read them. Not necessarily. We say them. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara asks, "Umai dehai tzchira kriyahi?" Okay, but who says that this word tzchira means to actually read it? Dilma iyun ba'alma. Maybe it just means looking into it. You look at the Megillah and you read it with your eyes, basically. Who says it means you have to read it with your mouth? The answer is loy tachat ba'zach. You can't think that. It's chasiv or tanya zacher. When the pasuk says, "Remember what Amalek did," yachal b'leiv, you would think it means you just have to remember it in your heart. But shuravah loy tishkach. When it says, "Don't forget," hareshich hasalev amur, then that means don't forget in your heart. Hamani mekayim zacher. So what does it mean? The word zacher means peh. Means you have to actually verbalize it. And since we're saying that it says basefer, means it has to be from a sefer Torah. So by the same thing, by the Megillah, when it says Nizkarim, by Yom El Nizkarim, means it has to be remembered, means not just in your heart, but actually with your mouth. And since we make it Zera Shava from Basefer, means it also has to be from a written text, from a Megillah.
The root here is when you say it loud.
That's what we're saying, yeah.
No, the Lichat Amalek, you have to remember everything, not only before, you know that.
Yeah, right. But the main mitzvah is once a year, yeah. One thing before I should point out, the reason why particularly once a year, the Gemara mentions in a number of places that people tend to forget things after 12 months. A mess, for example, is usually forgotten after 12 months. People are miyayish and aveda after 12 months. Therefore, once a year, every 12 months, the Eivishter wants it.
Because the money comes from the money.
That's why we read the Megillah, but we're talking about Zohar. Yeah. In a leap year, you should have it in mind during Parshas Kisei, because it's going to be 13 months until, yeah, indeed. Yeah, I believe the Mishnah Berurah talks about that, yeah. Next, the Mishnah says, Kra Targum Lo Yotze V'cholo, that if you read the Megillah in Targum, in Aramaic, you're not Yotze. What is the Mishnah talking about? Ilema Dechiva Mikra V'kori Lo Targum, if you mean that you have a Megillah written in front of you in Lashon Kodesh, and you're reading it in Aramaic, well, of course the Mishnah didn't have to say that. Hainu Al Peh. That's the same, that amounts to reading it Al Peh. And the Mishnah had already said that Al Peh, you're not Yotze. And the answer is, loitzricha, dechtiva targum v'kore lo targum. Right, what the Mishnah is talking about is, if you have a Megillah that's actually written in Aramaic, and you're reading it out of that in Aramaic, still you're not yotze.
And then what is
why? That because, we're going to get to that, then let's learn the next piece, and we'll see why. Av v'kore noisu lo loyezes v'laz v'cholot, but the Mishnah had said you can read the Megillah for people who know laz, who know a foreign language, you can read it in a foreign language. What do you mean? The Mishnah just said, if you read it in any other language, you're not Yotze. So Rav and Shmuel both say that this part of the Mishnah is specifically talking about you reading it in Greek. And we had back in the first Perek, we had a discussion about whether you're allowed to write Kitzvei HaKodesh in Greek. We had, according to the Rishonim Gamliel, you are, and according to the Chum, actually, you were allowed to write them in any language. So here we're saying, so Rav and Shmuel are both saying, when the Mishnah is distinguishing between saying that you can be Yotze in Lad, means aside from Lashon Kodesh, you can read it in Greek. That's the only other language, but not Targum. So what are we talking about? Are we talking about it's written in Ashuris, it's written in Hebrew, and you're reading it in Greek? Again, Hainu Al Peh. That's no good. You're reading it Bal Peh. What we're talking about is, according to this explanation, it would mean the Megillah was actually written in Greek. Whether it means there are different mafarshim who talk about this. I mean, it would have to be written transliterated it would have to be written in Hebrew characters, but in Greek transliteration, or would it mean that it's actually written in Greek characters in the Greek alphabet?
And also read Greek with Hebrew characters.
Why ever not?
Because they don't have the same sound.
Yeah, it's close enough. You can have the same way as you can write the same way as you can transliterate English into Hebrew characters, the same way as Yiddish is written in
Yiddish
Hebrew characters.
Yeah.
Do English and Hebrew characters as well. They used to. You can find various museums and whatnot. You can find posters they used to put up in the old days for all the immigrants that had a lot of English words transliterated. Yeah. Before the Gemara continues with this discussion, the Gemara goes off on a tangent a minute, since we said something that Rav Acha said in the name of Rav Elazar. Here's another one. V'amar Rav Acha, Amar Rav Elazar. Minayin shekare HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov Kael. Where do we see that Hashem called Yaakov Kael? Literally, the strong one. Shenemra, the pasuk says that Yaakov set up from his Be'ach, V'yikra lo'i Kael Elekei Yisrael. And he called it, or him, Kael Elekei Yisrael. Now why? Did Yisrael Kadosh Baruch Hu Mizbeach Kore Lo Yaakov Kael? If the pasuk meant that Yaakov called the Mizbeach Kela Lekei Yisrael, then it should say, Vayikra lo Yaakov Mibarele. It should say, Yaakov called it Kela Lekei Yisrael. Tosfos points out, it's different. We do have a few places where people set up a Mizbeach and called it by a name, including Hashem's name. Moshe sets up one after the war over Amalek and calls it Hashem Nisi. Gideon sets up one and calls it Hashem Shalom. The difference is, in those cases, it's not the Mizbeach is not being called Hashem. It's when a person mentions the Mizbeach, they'll praise Hashem for the nest that he did, for the shalom that he brought or whatever. Now here, Kela Lekei Yisrael, what does that mean exactly? By calling the Mizbeach, Kela Lekei Yisrael, how are you remembering the great thing that Hashem did? The pasuk should have said clearly that Yaakov called it that in order to avoid any misunderstanding. Ella, it means Vayikra Loi LeYaakov Kael. It means that Hashem, Vayikra Loi, he called him Kael. Hashem called him Kael. Vayikra Loi Kael, he called him Kael. Who called him Elekei Yisrael? Hashem. Hashem called Yaakov Kael. One idea of it is that tzaddikim don't even it says in a number of places in Siddur, tzaddikim don't even labor, and the tzaddikim are similar to the Eivishter in a certain way. So therefore, the tzaddik can be called by the name of the Eivishter because he's bottled to him. Generally not, but every rule has exceptions. In particular, talking about the idea that Yaakov is Avriach min Akatze al Akatze, he's Midas Emet, and therefore more than any of the other others, he can have the Eivishter's name associated with him. He's the only one who has the Eivishter's name as part of his own anyway, Yisrael. Vayikra Loi, he called him Kael. Who called him that? Elekei Yisrael. Hashem. Going back to, so that Elav Vayikra Loi Yaakov Kael, he called him Yaakov Kael. Umikroi Kael. Who called him Kael? Elekei Yisrael. Hashem. Going back to the discussion about reading the Megillah in different languages, Mesvi, we have a contradiction for Braisa. Korah Giptis, if you read the Megillah in Giptis, which means Egyptian, Giptis is related to the word Egyptian, Ivris, or you read it in Lashon Ivri, which doesn't mean Hebrew, it actually says, it means Lashon Eber Hanar, it means the language that they spoke on the other side of the river, like some other Semitic language. Elamis, or the language of Elam.
No,
Ivris, not
Ivri.
Yeah. Elomis, modis, yivonis, lo yotza. So we see the Braisa clearly says you're not yotza in any other language. And it includes yivonis. The answer is holo dami el aloha. Okay, but we have to compare it rather to the following statement, which the Braisa continues. Giptis, the giptim. If you read the Megillah in Giptis for people who speak Giptis, for giptim, for Jews from Giptis, from Egypt, ivris, ivris, elomim, la ivrim, elomis, la elomim, yivonis, la yivonim, yotza. So that's what it means. In other words, that's what it means. You can't read the Megillah in Yevonis, let's say, for people who don't understand the language, for Giptim, let's say, but you can read it for Yevonim. The Gemara asked, if so, Rav Shmuel amai mok melolim masnis belaz Yevonis. So then, why do Rav and Shmuel have to say that the Mishnah is talking specifically about Yevonis? Loik mebuchalaz. Let them say that it's talking about any kind of laz. Ela masnis in Kibraisa, but rather you have to say, okay, the Mishnah and the Braisa agree. That you can say, you can read the Megillah in any language, provided that the people understand that language. What Rav Shmuel were talking about was in a different thing, not in connection with the halachas of the Megillah, but in general about the halachas of reading from the Torah. Rav Shmuel the Amitabai, Laz Yavani, Lakal Kosher, that they hold that Greek is kosher for any other purpose. According to them, you could read from the Torah in it, you could read in Parshas Zachar in it, you could do all the other things that have to be done in Lashon Kodesh. According to them, you could do in Greek. But the Megillah is even more than that. The Megillah, the Mishnah, and the Braita both amount to saying you can do it in any language as long as the people understand it.
As opposed to the other one, they should not necessarily understand?
Well, wait. That'll actually be the next thing. But why? The Braita doesn't make a distinction between Yavonis and any other language. It says you can read in Yavonis for people who speak Yavon, who speak Yavonis, who speak Greek, but not any other language. So how are Rav and Shmuel still saying that Yavonis is different? The answer is Idru D'Amar K'Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav and Shmuel hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel from the first parak, the Tanan. Rav Shimon Gamliel Af Sforam Le'Tiru Shei Kosva El Yavonis. Rav Shimon Gamliel has said that when it comes that even when it comes to Sforam of Tanakh, we had over there in the Tanakhama, it said that Sforam of Tanakh can be written in any language, and Rav Shimon Gamliel said only Lashon Kodesh or Greek. So here also, Rav and Shmuel are going according to that when they're saying that Greek has a special status. So they're arguing with the Braisa. The Braisa is saying you can read the Megillah in Greek only for people who speak Greek. And Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying the same way as you can read it in Lashon Kodesh, even for people who don't know Lashon Kodesh, that the Gemara is going to say next. The same thing, according to them, you can read it in Greek even for people who don't know Greek.
So one says you have to read it in Greek only if you understand Greek.
Rav and Shmuel are saying not necessarily, even again. Question is, so okay, let them just say flat out, halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The answer is E Amri Halacha K'Rav Shimon Gamliel. If they had said that, Hav Amina Hani Mi L'Shar Sforim, you would think they mean that the Halacha is like Rav Gamliel only when it comes to other books of Tanakh. Av Megillah D'Chsib B'Chsavam, but the Megillah, it says in it that it has to be written K'Chsavam, that it was written according to their script. Emaloi, so you would think maybe not. Maybe that's a mirror, that it has to have to be written in Lashon Kodesh. Kamash Kolan, that's why they're telling us that even here the Halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel.
You would have thought
that has to be in Lashon Kodesh. That even Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree that would agree with the Chachamim that Megillah can only be in Lashon Kodesh.
Written
Lashon Kodesh. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be correct.
Right. It can be written in Greek. Right. Which again, we learned in the first parak, but Rambam writes that nowadays nobody knows real Greek. It's become corrupt, and therefore you can't write Sefer Kodesh in Greek any more than in any other language.
Now to come back about that, you could say you speak English in Spanish. Sure. There's no the.
You write a dalet with a tick or whatever. You write. You find aces. Yeah. Next, the Mishnah said, "V'aloy shama ashuris yotze v'chola." That if a person who only knows a foreign language hears ashuris, hears the Megillah in Hebrew, he's yotze. The question is, what do you mean? V'hola yadam ka'amri. He doesn't know what they're saying. How does that help? How is it pirsum in nisa? The answer is midi to have an anoshim ba'amei oretz, because it's no different than women and then amei oretz who listen to the Megillah and they're still yotze. By the same token, a person who's not a woman, who's not an amei oretz, but still he doesn't know the Lashon Kodesh, can also be yotze with Lashon Kodesh.
But he has to understand.
That's the next thing. Maskif l'Ravina. So Ravina asks the question: Otu anan ha'achasron and b'ner ha'ramacha miyadina. Do we who hear it in Lashon Kodesh and do know Lashon Kodesh? Do we understand the meaning of when the Megillah says that Mordechai sent out his letters with ha'achasron and b'ner ha'ramacha? What does that mean? Ella mitzvah kriyo persuminissa. So what is it? When we're reading it, we have the mitzvah of reading it, and we have the mitzvah persuminissa. So how does the persuminissa work? You may not know the meaning of those specific words, but you can ask. In other words, he's saying the same way as we don't understand those three words, and nevertheless we yotze kriyas ha-Megillah because we understand the basic story. The same thing. If somebody is hearing the Megillah in Lashon Kodesh and doesn't understand it, he can ask the people around, tell me the story in brief, and that accomplishes the person in Issa. So he's hearing the actual words, but still, and he also understands it because he asks around.
So he seems to agree
that. Hachanami, so the same thing, that's the thing. He's saying that the same way the lawyers can yotze if he hears it in Lashon Kodesh, because even if he doesn't understand any of the words, fine, it's no different than us not understanding Ha'achashron and B'nei HaRamachim. But he can hear the words, and then if he needs to find out what actually happened, which he should for Persu Manissa, then he can ask.
So then he agrees with the previous opinion.
Maskifla means he's challenging the whole premise of the question. Why do you think it's a problem if you don't know what words in Megillah mean? And Shulchan Aruch points out that actually because of this that we're saying we don't know the meaning of the word Ha'achashron and B'nei HaRamachim, therefore the practical matter, this that we were talking about, that theoretically you can read the Megillah in other languages for people who know those languages, practically speaking you can't do that, because how are you going to translate those words if you don't know what they mean? in theory, what you could do is you could read the Megillah, let's say, in English, and when you come to that passage, you say that Mordechai sent out his letters in the hands of Hachashon and Bnei HaRamachim, and then continue in English. But you're not supposed to, you could be Yotz in that way, but you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to mix different languages. So therefore, that's why we only do it in Lashon Kodesh. No, the exact thing, right. Hachashtronim seems to mean some kind of royal riders. Haramachim means may mean some kind of animal, may a certain kind of animals or a certain family of people who raise such animals, whatever, yeah.
Seems to imply if you don't ask, you're not Yotze.
We're saying you could ask because you're able to ask, because you're able to find out. Therefore, just hearing it in Hebrew, you go to the mitzvah of Pesach Manasseh. Mishnah says, "Cross serugin yotze v'chola." That if you read the Megillah serugin, then you yotze. And Gemara says, "Why have you had Rabbanan? My serugin." We had this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah also. The Rabbanan did not know. The Talmidim of Rebbe did not know what the word serugin meant. One day, Shamuel answered the Rebbe. They one time heard the maid servant of Rebbe's house, Jekamru the Rabbanan. She says to the Talmidim, "Dava highly paski. They're coming in piecemeal, the Bay Rebbe into Rebbe's house." She says to them, "I'm Mosat and Rishasim serugin. How long are you going to keep on coming in serugin?" So therefore, they understood serugin means a little bit at a time. So therefore, by reading the Megillah, it means you read a pasuk, you pause for a little bit, you read another pasuk, you pause, etc. Another one, a few others like this, like have a Yadda Rabbanan my Chalugl Gois. The Rabbanan also did not know what Chalugl Gois are. We have this whole thing in Rosh Hashanah, yeah. Chalugl Gois is a kind of group. It's mentioned in a few places, and it's mentioned in a few places in Shas. Shamul Amsa de Beirab, Yidu Amr Lelahu Gavr, they have a Kamavada Papachine, they heard this maidservant of Rebbe who was saying to a person who was scattering Papachine, which is the name of a plant they did recognize, Admas after Mufaza Chalugluka. Why? You scare, how long are you going to be scattering your Chalugluka? So now they know what it means. Loi haba yada rabbanan my salsaleh or sedem mecca. They also didn't know what it means. The pasuk says salsaleh, be misalsal in it in the Torah or sedem mecca, and it will lift you up. Then Shamur la'am said to Rebbe, they heard the maidservant of Rebbe, Davas Amr lahu gavra. She said to a certain person, to have a mahapich b'mazeh, who was turning around and curling his hair. Admasat and salsa b'sarecha. How long are you going to be curling your hair? So they understood salsaleha means turn like a hafach b'vafacha. Keep on turning over the Torah and then being busy with it and whatever. Or sudam mecca and it will lift you up.
Like turning the hair.
Rashi says, yeah. Lamander shasul so loshen chipus v'hipuch. It means like searching out and turning over like this person is doing with his hair. That's how you should do with the Torah. Another one, like Abu Yadid Abban and my Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha. They didn't know what the pasuk means until him. Throw on Hashem Yehovcha. What does Yehovcha mean? Amar Rabbi Babachana, Zimnecha de Haba al Zilna Bahadi Ahutayah. One time I was traveling together with a certain Arab, the Kabarina Tuna, and I'm carrying a burden. And he says to me, Shtil Yehovich, take your Yehav, Vashadi Agamloy, and throw it on my camel. So we understand now that Yehovcha means your burden. Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha, throw your burden on Hashem, Vahu Yechaukalacha, and he'll sustain you. And lo haba yada rabbanan one more. The rabbanan did not know my b'titetio b'matate hashmed. The pasuk in Yeshaya talking a nevuah about how Bavel is going to be destroyed. I will titetia with the matate of destruction. Shamul amsa debay Rebbe. Then they heard Rebbe's maidservant to have us amr l'chavata. She was saying to her friend, shkuli tatisa, take a broom, v'tati besa, and sweep the house. So they understand titetia b'matate hashmed means the Eved is saying I will sweep. Bavel with the broom of destruction, like nothing of it will be left, like when you sweep up the dirt with a broom. The Yerushalmi actually tells the story that these three things in Amsa Debei Rebbe all happened together. The Rabbanan were standing outside Rebbe's house trying to figure out who should go in first, who's the greater one, etc. So they're like going in piecemeal. She tells them, Sirugin. One of them is carrying a bundle of Chalugligos and drops it, so it scatters all over. So she tells him, why are you scattering your Chalugligos? And she tells her friend, take a matate and sweep all this mess up. So they found out all these three things together. That was a different one. That's Rabbi Baba Chana, it was 100 years later. For a few hundred years at least, yeah. Tanarabanan, the price says, cross serugin yotzer. If you read the Megillah serugin, like we just said, piecemeal, then you're yotzer. But serusin lo yotzer. But if you read the Megillah serusin, like you read it backwards, out of order, then you're not yotzer. Ramona Oma Mashumar Bihoda, after Sirugin, even when you're reading it piecemeal, Ib Sharkada Ligmaras Kula, if you break off between in between in the Megillah enough time that you could have read the whole Megillah, Khoizal Rosh, and you have to go back to the beginning. And Amar Rabbi Yosef, Halacha, Kerabmona, Shaman Mishra Behoda, the Halacha is like Kerabmona, that you would have to take if you have such a long break. Amar Abai and Rabbi Yosef, Abai asked Rabbi Yosef, how long are we talking about? Could a Ligmaris Kula, when we say to finish the whole thing, do we mean the Hecha the Koyla Sefer? Do we mean if he breaks long enough to be able to finish from where he's holding until the end? Does it mean from beginning to end? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef tells him, it has to mean from beginning to end. Dimkin, it's after the Rechel, the Shurin, because otherwise, like, it's not a fixed amount. It would vary depending where you're holding in the Megillah.
From the end, or from the beginning.
Right. So therefore, necessarily, it has to be the time it would take you to read it. Now, is the halacha like this? Amar Rab Abba, Amar Rab Yomir, Abba, Amar Rab, halacha k'rab mayna. So Rab is saying the halacha is like k'rab mayna. Ushmol ama'in halacha k'rab mayna. Ushmol says no. Now, Surah Masnu Hachi, in Surah, that's how I learned the discussion. But from Medusa Masnu Hachi, that Omer of Kahana, Omer of Allah, that in Surah, was they didn't say in the name of Rav Abba, who said in the name of Rav Yirmi, Rav Abba, who said in the name of Rav, rather they said that Rav Kahana said in the name of Rav. Well, Shmuel Omer in Allah, and then they also agreed that Shmuel said that Allah is not like Rav Moina. But Rabbi Masni Ibcha, Rabbi flipped it around. Rav Omer in Allah, or Shmuel Omer Allah, Wait. Amr Rabbi Yosef, Nekot did Rabbi Biyadcha, you should hold in your hand what Rabbi said. In other words, you should assume Rabbi's version is correct, that Rav is the one who's saying the halacha is not like Rav Moina, so it doesn't matter how long you broke, you can still continue.
Because Rabbi was always correct?
No. De Shmuel, who the Chayesh, because we find that Shmuel is the one, between Rav and Shmuel, Shmuel is the one who, when there's a Yachid, when there's an individual opinion, like we had here Rav Moina, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that he's Choshesh for him when he's Machmir. As opposed to Rav holds or not. You just go according to the Rabbim. The Rabbim say there's no problem, so therefore there's no problem. Where do we see that? The Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah in Yavamah. So here's a preview of what we're going to be learning a few months from now. Shemeres Yavam. If you have a woman who is waiting for Yibum, so her husband died, Shekidish Achiv Esachoisa. One of his brothers was Makadish, her sister. So we're talking about over here. Suppose you have, let's say you have several brothers. You have Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Reuben was married to Rachel. And Reuben died childless, so now Rachel's going to need to have Yibum with one of the brothers. She's now, it's called Zkuka. She has a certain connection to the brothers because she's going to end up either doing Chalitza or Yibum with one of them. She has to do Chalitza or Yibum with one of them, ideally the oldest one. So what happened? Now Midrabanan, you're not allowed to marry the sister of your Zkuka. Minatoda, you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister. But Rabbanan, they extended to that, if you have a skuka, you're not allowed to marry her sister either. So what happens, let's say now, you have Reuben died. No, because you could do chalitza and there wouldn't be an issue. So Minatoda, it's not an issue. But the Midrabanan, a skuka is a form, is already a form of issue. We'll have a lot of talk about it in Yavamas. Yeah. Anyway, so suppose you have over here, then Reuben died. Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, let's say, are all slated. One of them is going to do Yibum Chalitza with her. We're going to have to stop soon, so we'll finish this piece, and then, now let's say that Levi went and was Makadish Leah, Rachel's sister. Now, the question is, do we consider that Rachel, the widow, is an equal skuka to all of them? Or maybe not. Maybe she's a skuka mainly only to one of them, the one who's going to end up doing Yibum. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we are choshish for that. And Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Aseira, actually. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Aseira, Omrim Loi, that we tell this brother, Hamtein, wait, Achi Asa Achif Agol Maisa, until your brother actually does something, either Yibum or Chalitza. Once he does Yibum or Chalitza, then fine, she's not a skuka to you anymore. At that point, you'll be able to marry Leah. But until then, you've done Kedushin with her, and the Kedushin are Toifas Midna Torah, because the whole thing is only Midrabanan. But wait with actually marrying her, because... Maybe, but eventually the brother is going to have to do either Chalitza or Yibum, right?
If he doesn't want to.
If he doesn't want to, then it's up to one of the other brothers.
Oh, no.
The problem is not if he's Miyabim. The problem is if the other brother marries Leah, she's the sister of his skuka. Midrabanan, Rabbi Yehuda ben Aseira is saying she's also to him. So we're not going to make him, break off the Kedushin, but we're saying, fine, you were Makadisher, that worked Midaraisa, but don't actually marry her, don't do Nisuin until we till we fix up the status of the Skukah, until we fix up the status of the Sivama. That's not even Chayim Elabim, that's only Jabonim. This whole thing about Chayim is only Jabonim, of course Kedushin HaTayfet. So in other words, the Chachamim would say it's no problem. The Chachamim would say she's only a skukah mainly to the you have more than one brother. You have more than one brother anyway. There's no specific zika to one of them more than the other. So it was not a strong enough zika for it to be a problem with him marrying her. But Rebbe Seder is concerned about it. And Omer Shmuel Allah could have been Seder. And Shmuel says in that case Allah is could have been Seder. So that shows that Shmuel is choshish even to a das yachid because he's machner. The same thing over here. Shmuel would be the one who says, I want to be machmir according to Rabbi Yehuda, that if you break off in the middle of the Megillah, kedei ligmur kula, that you should have to start over. Rav would be the one who disagrees with that. That's Rabbi Bibi's version. And Tosfos points out that, in fact, generally speaking, we have in Isser Veheser, usually the halacha is like Rav. And indeed, over here, the halacha is indeed the halacha is like Rav over here. The halacha is like Rabibi's version of Rav. The halacha is that even if you have a long break in the middle of the Megillah reading, you don't have to start over.